Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Pirkei Dei. This week, Rabbi Meir Schweiger discusses Pirkei Dei. Rabbi Meir Schweiger is a senior faculty member at Pardes and also serves as the Pardes Mashkiach Ruchani, the spiritual guide for Pardes. And now, Rabbi Meir Schweiger.
Thank you, Larry. This week's parsha is Parshat Pirkei Dei. Parshat Pirkei Dei is normally read with the previous parsha, Parshat Vayakhel. But because this year is a leap year, and hence there is an extra month of Adar, with extra Shabbatot, there is a need to divide the parshiot to accommodate the Torah readings of each Shabbat. This Shabbat also has a special maftir, which is known as Parshat Shkalim. This maftir is always read the Shabbat before Rosh Chodesh, the new moon of Adar, which this year falls on Sunday and Monday. So I would like today to examine Parshat Shkalim and see how it connects with our Parsha. You can find Parshat Shkalim in Shmot, Exodus, chapter 30, verses 11 through 16. So let us begin. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe lemor, and God said to Moses, saying, Ki tisa et rosh b'nei Yisrael lifkudehem, when you lift up the heads of the Jewish people according to their numbers, v'natnu ishkofer nafsho l'Hashem bifkodotam, each man shall give a ransom of his soul to God when he is counted, v'lo yevahem negef bifkodotam, and there will not be a plague when they are counted. And then we're told in verse 13, Ze yitnu, this is what they need to give, kol ha'over al apkudim, all those who pass by to be counted, machatzit ha-shekel b'shekel ha-kodesh, a half shekel according to the holy shekel, esrim geira ha-shekel, machatzit ha-shekel, truma ladonai, this half shekel will be a contribution, a heave offering to God. Once again it says, Kol ha'over al pkudim, all those who pass to be counted, to be enlisted, mi ben esrim shana v'mala, from those above the age of 20, yitain trumat Adonai, shall give the heave offering of God. Ha'ashir lo yarbeh, the rich man shall not increase, Hadal vadal lo yamit, the poor person should not diminish, mimachatzit ha-shekel, from giving a half a shekel, latet et trumat Adonai, to give, once again, the heave offering of God, lechaper al nafshotechem, to atone on your souls. And then it says, v'lakachta et kesef ha-kipurim, you shall take this money of atonement, Me'et b'nei Yisrael, from the Jewish people. V'natata oto, and you shall give it, al avodat ohel mo'ed, on the work of the ohel mo'ed, of the tent of meeting. V'haya l'vnei Yisrael l'zikaron l'fnei Adonai, and this will be a remembrance before the Jewish people, l'chaper al nafshotechem, to atone for their souls. Let us begin with the following, just so that we understand what we're being told. In this section, we're told that whenever there is a census of the people, a census of the men above the age of 20, they need to give a half shekel. They cannot give more, they cannot give less. Everybody gives the same amount. This half shekel is supposed to be given over to the service of the tent of meeting. And this half shekel is seen as being an atonement. It's seen as being a ransom. It's seen as being something which will prevent a plague from happening. It is also seen as a zikaron, as something which will be a remembrance before God. God will look at this and remember and atone for our souls. The rabbis learn, derive from this section, that every year there is a mitzvah of machzita shekel. Every year there is a mitzvah to give a half shekel to the treasury of the temple. The half shekel which is given is used for the purchase of communal offerings, primarily for the daily sacrifice, 2 sheep, which are brought morning and afternoon every single day. And for this reason, the rabbis say that we read this section on this Shabbat, because the heralds would go out announcing on the 1st of Adar that everyone should see to contribute their half shekel before the 1st of Nisan, because the fiscal year of the temple begins on the 1st of Nisan. The 1st of Nisan is the beginning of the Jewish national calendar, which commemorates our becoming a people with the Exodus from Egypt. And before the fiscal year begins, we are given a month. We are given a heads up, a warning. Make sure to contribute your half shekels so that from the 1st of Nisan, the daily offerings will be brought from the new monies which are contributed to the temple. One of the classic medieval commentaries, the Chizkuni, says that why do we speak of this money being atonement? Why do we speak of it being a ransom? Why do we speak of it averting a plague? Because in fact, this money is used for the purchase of sacrifices. Sacrifices that are meant to be a communal atonement. Sacrifices that are meant to sustain the Jewish people and somehow enable them to start again, despite whatever sins they may have done. In fact, there is a rabbinic comment which appears in the Jerusalem Talmud, which says that in the merit of these half shekels, the Jewish people were actually saved from destruction and from having their property, shekels, shkalim, confiscated during the time of Achashverosh, in the story of Purim. And hence, this is why we actually read it in advance of the holiday of Purim, to show how the shekels which were contributed, in effect, were a ransom, a substitute, that ultimately saved the Jewish people from destruction in the time of Achashverosh. And according to this understanding, the Chizkuni actually explains another part when he says that at the end of verse 12, there shall not be a plague upon you. He understands the meaning of plague to be a resounding defeat of our people by the hands of their enemies, that would be struck down by our enemies. Now the Sforno, in saying this explanation, is anticipating what we find later on in the book of Numbers, when in the beginning of the book of Numbers, the Jewish men above the age of 20 are being counted, and they are described as those who are Yotzei Tzava, those who will go out to battle. And hence, if I connect our section with what we have later on in Numbers, we can say that those who are going out to battle need to be protected from their enemies, need to be deserving of God's providence, which will protect them. And that is achieved by giving these half shekels. And I, based on the rabbinic comment, extrapolate that in the same way, by giving the half shekels, the Jewish people were saved from the Negev, from the plague, from being smitten by Haman and his forces in the events of Purim. But I would like to now examine this a little bit further. And I would like to, first of all, offer a different suggestion. And that is that the atonement which we're speaking about, the ransom, the being saved from a plague, may very well be an allusion to the story of the golden calf. we actually find that in the aftermath of the calf, it uses the word Vayigof Hashem, that God actually plagues the Jewish people. Besides the 3,000 men who were killed by the tribe of Levi, there are additional people who were killed because of their involvement with the golden calf. And therefore, our parsha, okay, for those of you who would like to see this, this is later on in chapter 32, verse 35. It says, Vayigof Hashem et ha'am, that God plagued the people, al asher asu et ha'egel, that they made the calf which Aaron had made. And by the way, in the same section, a few verses earlier, Moshe says to the people, okay, I need to go up again and plead with God. Perhaps God will atone for you. Hence, this section appears here, perhaps in anticipation of what will follow later on in Parshat Ki Tisa, that somehow by contributing these half shekels, this can become the ransom, the atonement, that will avert the anger of God and forgive us for the sin of the golden calf. How does that work? So let us examine the pasuk, which we have discussed in other podcasts. We're talking here about taking a census of the Jewish people. And the words that are used are ki tisa, when you lift up the head of the Jewish people, lifkudehem, according to their numbers, pkudim, and I will now jump ahead, our parsha, pkudeh, means numbers. The rabbis refer to the book of Numbers as Sefer HaPkudim. And in fact, in our parsha, when it says Elef Kudei, one of the classic medieval commentaries, the Rashbam, who was Rashi's grandson, says Pkudei means Cheshbon, the number, the accounting. Now, it so happens that this expression, Tisa et Rosh, Pkudeihem, comes up again and again in the beginning of the book of Numbers. And in that podcast, I raised a very interesting question, which is, there are other words in Hebrew for numbers. In modern Hebrew, when we talk about counting, we use the word lispor, or the word for number is mispar. We are familiar with another word, minyan, a ritual quorum of 10. But minyan is related to the word limnot, which also means to count. It is interesting that we have many words that seem to be connected with counting, and yet each has its own nuance. And as I mentioned in this other podcast, there is a fundamental problem when we count, or to phrase it differently, when people become statistics. There is a certain dehumanization. I think I may have even mentioned that one of the things that Israelis are very preoccupied about are the number of deaths each year from road accidents. And I think a number of people came up with a very brilliant idea, which was, rather than constantly speaking about the numbers of people who are killed, why don't we try to show the human face, to show those people who are killed, to hear their story, to see their bereaved parents, children, so that in the end, we don't just reduce those people to being a number, but see how much there was a whole world lost, which can then help us to appreciate the tragedy underlying road accidents. Hence, to come back to our parsha, in order to somehow counter this tendency of reducing people to numbers, we say that when you count people, don't make them a number. Don't do what the Nazis did and put a number on all those people in the death camps. Lift up their head. And then it says, Lifkudehem. I said to you that the word Pkudehem means numbers, counting. But the root, pei kuftalet, has another meaning which we find in many other areas. In modern Hebrew, it is related to the word tafkid, which means a role. It is also related to the word mufkad, which means entrusted, charged. Pikadon is a deposit, something which you're supposed to guard. And in my podcast on Parshat Bamidbar, I demonstrated from chapter 1 how the word pikudim means to be given a role, which means when we count the Jewish people, we are lifting up their heads. But how do we lift up their heads? How do we empower them? By giving a role to play. In the context of Bamidbar, it may very well be that the role which is to be played is to be a soldier, to be involved in the process of conquering the land, taking possession of the land. And perhaps one of the ideas, which is very, very important, is for each one to realize how important their role is. And perhaps I would even add that on a certain fundamental level, generals and privates are equally needed in order to win the battle. Yes, it's true that there's a certain hierarchy, but each one is dependent on the other. A general without foot soldiers cannot do anything. And clearly the foot soldiers need someone who will be directing them. How is this relevant to our section? How is this relevant to the idea of the atonement, of the ransom, of not having a plague? I think we can see the answer in our parsha. If we turn to our parsha, Parshat Pkudei, chapter 38, verse 25, it gives us a listing of the money that was collected. And it says the following in verse 25, 26, and then I'll also be doing 27. V'chese pekudei haida ma'at kikar, and the money, right, of the counting of the community was 100 kikar, 100 talents. Ve'elef ushvamayot v'chamisha v'shivim shekel b'shekel ha-kodesh. And 1,775 shkalim of holy shekels. Beka lagulgolet, a beka per head hold. Machatzita shekel b'shekel ha-kodesh. Okay, a beka, Rashi says, is the term for the weight of a half a shekel. L'kol ha'over al pekudim, this is what was given by all who passed by to be counted. Mi ben esrim shana v'mala, of those who were 20 years and above. L'shesh meot elfu shloshet alafim, of 603,000. Chamesh meot v'chamishim, 550. This is the number of Jewish males above the age of 20. And then in verse 27, Vayihi, and it was, Ma'at kikar ha-kesef, that the 100 talents of silver, latzeket, they were used in order to pour et adnei ha-kodesh, the adanim, the holy adanim. The adanim were the base holders of the beams of the tabernacle. And also these base holders of the curtain. Ma'at adanim. 100 adanim le'ma'at ha-kikar. So what do we see from this verse? From this verse we see that in fact a census is taken of the Jewish people, the Jewish males above the age of 20, each one contributing a half a shekel. That half shekel made of silver was then used to form, to shape, to pour these holders, what the beams of the tabernacle rest on. This is making a very, very powerful statement. It was extremely important for every Jewish male, and I would perhaps add, every Jewish male who, according to the rabbinic tradition, was indicted for having somehow participated in the sin of the golden calf. According to rabbinic tradition, the women did not participate. And those males needed to now atone for what they did with the golden calf, in whatever capacity, by now contributing to the tabernacle. The tabernacle which will now be a symbol of God's forgiveness of the Jewish people for what they did in the golden calf. As Rashi comments on the opening verse of our parsha, when it says, Elef Kudei HaMishkan, this is the listing of materials contributed of the tabernacle, Mishkan Ha'idut, the tabernacle of testimony. And Rashi comments and says, the tabernacle is testimony to the Jewish people that God forgave them for the sin of the golden calf. Because in the end, he caused his divine presence to dwell in the tabernacle. Hence, the tabernacle is the expression of God's forgiveness of the Jewish people. But what is that forgiveness based on? What enables that atonement? What enables that ransom? What enables it to happen is the fact that each and every Jew contributes. And what do they contribute to? To the base of the tabernacle. The symbolic expression is that the tabernacle rests on the shoulders, on the contribution of every single individual. There is no competition. No one is allowed to give more. No one is allowed to give less. Each must give the exact same amount. For the tabernacle to stand, it needs to be based on a sense of commitment and of a sense of how each one equally needs to support the temple. This is the atonement which our parsha is talking about. And hence, when in Parshat Shkalim, it says, lift up your head, play the role. The role to play is for each and every individual to see that the temple needs them, and they need the temple. And for the temple to be able to stand, you need to have each person contribute. It is not coincidental that in our parsha, we do not talk about what was the gold used for, which bothers a number of commentaries. The gold was used to make all the significant vessels in the temple. And the gold which was given voluntarily. It was given by those people who had gold, and not everybody had gold. And not only that, but in last week's parsha, when it speaks about the contribution to the tabernacle, the term that's used again and again is melacha, both in terms of the giving to the tabernacle, in terms of all the artisans who constructed the tabernacle. And in fact, in last week's parsha, the emphasis is placed on the greatness of the Jewish people in terms of rising to the occasion, in terms of building a magnificent structure. And this is the idea of melacha. Melacha, creative work. Creative work which crowns us like a melech, a king. But there can also be a real danger in people becoming intoxicated with what they've created. And perhaps the best illustration of that is the story of the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel was a monument to human achievement. And in building it, the people say, let us make for us a name to put ourselves on the map, to show how great we are. And that danger could happen in the temple as well, if all that we had was Parshat Vayakel. But in our parsha, Parshat Pekudei, we speak not only about Malacha, but if we look at the opening verse, we say, Elef Kudei HaMishkan Mishkan Ha'idut Asher Pukad Al Pi Moshe Avodat Halvi'im. Another word for work, Avodah. Avodah, which has the root Eved, the service. Because in our parsha, rather than highlighting the magnitude of the people, rather than highlighting their big hearts, their generosity, instead what we want to highlight is that everything which is happening is being done according to the commandment of God to Moshe, as we find in the second verse, when it says, "Betzalel ben Uri ben Chor l'mate Yehuda asa et kol asher tziva Hashem et Moshe." We don't describe in this verse Betzalel as being a chacham lev. We don't go into all of his tremendous qualities. We don't want to focus on his majesty. But in this parsha, we want to focus on his humility, on how everything has been done according to the way God commanded Moshe. And by the same token, when we speak about the silver that was contributed, we don't talk about the silver that was contributed based on people's generosity. We talk about the silver that was contributed, which was commanded by God to Moshe. The silver that does not distinguish between rich and poor. The silver that everyone must give, because everyone is equally bound to serve God. Let me end by saying that our parsha begins with Ele Pkudei HaMishkan, which could be read not just these are the numbers of the Mishkan, but rather these are the charges of the Mishkan. Everything that we're describing is what was done in service of the Mishkan, was done in playing a role in the Mishkan. And when everyone plays an equal role, or maybe I should phrase it differently, when everyone sees that they are just one cog in the machinery, and no matter who they are, they are one among equals. This is what can ultimately bring about the divine presence filling the tabernacle, dwelling among the Jewish people. Our parsha is the conclusion of the book of Exodus. Not only is it the conclusion of the book of Exodus, but in many ways it is a closing of a circle which takes us back to the beginning of Bereshit. In fact, if we look in our parsha, just before the tabernacle is established, when everything is in place, it says in chapter 39, verse 32, "And all of the work of the Mishkan was completed. And the Jewish people had done all that God had commanded Moses. As he commanded them, so did they do." And the last verse in chapter 39, verse 43, "And Moses saw all the work, and behold, they did it. As God commanded, so did they do, and he blesses them." The same expression of completing the work, seeing the work, blessing, appears in chapter 1 of Bereshit when God created the world. And in other podcasts, I have noted that there are very real parallels between last week's parsha, our parsha, and the beginning of Bereshit. In the beginning of Bereshit, God creates a world for man to then rule over, a world which God hopes man will bring into relationship with God. The story of the book of Bereshit and subsequently the beginning of Shemot is how human beings, by virtue of their evil, unravel that world, remove God from that world. The whole enterprise of the construction of the tabernacle is to create a mini world which can invite back God's presence to not only fill the tabernacle, but to then go on to fill the whole world at large, where the Jewish people play an active role, become partners in creating that reality. And it is not just one individual, but a whole people who do that. And to now just put together a few loose ends, in the same way that the males above the age of 20 need to contribute a half shekel, which will be used for the Adanim, for the base of the Mishkan. Later on, they need year in and year out to contribute a half shekel to be used for the sacrifices that will ultimately sustain that world, atone for that world, that will enable us to, on the one hand, recognize our human imperfections, but to the nevertheless attempt to correct them, to move forward, to create a better reality. As I mentioned, our parsha, Parshat Shkalim, always comes before the month of Nisan, a month before, perhaps as a way of maybe preparing us to renew our sense of Jewish peoplehood. Yes, it is true that on Rosh Hashanah, which is the Day of Judgment, we go through a whole process of soul-searching, reevaluation, change. But that is fundamentally on an individual level. Perhaps the month of Adar is an attempt to try to have us reevaluate who we are as a nation. Purim is the story, the quintessential story of Jews in the diaspora. There is no mention of God in the Book of Esther. And to a certain extent, there is no consciousness of God in the Book of Esther. Ahasuerus's palace has usurped the temple, even in the mindset of the Jews living in Persia. So therefore, perhaps this is a time for us to reevaluate who we are as a people, to reevaluate the need for us to join forces as a people, to see how the Mishkan is trying to somehow bring back the presence of God, of good in the world, which we sorely need today as much as any other time in history. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Schweiger. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.